Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I just kept telling him, stop the car, stop the car. And he wouldn't stop. Fast, slow.
Stop the car so I can kill you.
Right. Finally, some motorists were able to pin the car in. And one motorist who had a conceal and carry came out with a gun. It looks like he's a police officer. He's actually a citizen.
Yeah, told him to get that's out of the what car. You want. Then citizens pulling guns on each other. Right?
So we'll tell you, they were both...
have to be arrested.
Fitzgerald was charged with assault with a dangerous weapon on
that's
a person
car.
On a person over 60. So that's good
for
you.
Wow, so you get a discount. I get my age. You're like, wow, that's great.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty, then. We are live at Chatter, and at the moment, it's okay. There was a little bit of rain when I drove in this morning, about 7:15. We are expecting rain turning to snow, turning to icy road conditions. As a result of that, in preparatory of that, nobody's in here today. Well, we have two people. Brian is here.
Yay.
Which we're happy because Brian has breakfast. And we have a gentleman from Australia who brought us tribute, which is very nice. Tomorrow, nobody's going to be in here.
Nobody. Be here.
We're going to be in here if we can, but nobody else is going to be here. Towards that, you're planning for what you're going to do. I know that tonight is trivia night at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue and Jennifer Street's Northwest. We probably will cancel trivia. Check the website. Because the weather... Well, the weather is said by everyone to be deteriorating in a dramatic way starting in the mid to late afternoon and impacting the rush hour. And so you don't want people on the streets having to come any sort of long distance to do that. And we can have trivia another night. It's, you know, it's not like if this is the night we close because we're bankrupt, you know, because of trivia, we haven't done a very good job.
But you know what? Right. Something has changed because back when I was a 20 something, maybe even a 30 or 40 something, bad weather, snowstorm, it was let's go to the bars.
Yes.
Let's go out. Let's go to a fun restaurant.
I think people walk to them, but I'm not sure that people. Trivia is an appointment circumstance, you know, that you have
to
come
from distance.
What do you
need for a critical mass for trivia?
I have no idea.
It's the quorum.
15, 20 people. I have no idea. Tori Clark is here. David Aldridge is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will run the board, do the news. A couple of announcements. Can I just say, it's very nice when you send us things. Could you just, unless it's really great, could you stop sending us things? Because then we just recycle them. And a lot of you want things signed, and I appreciate that. And you have to be willing to wait for a while to get things signed. As Nigel goes through the mail. And Nigel, who is just very oppressed easily, Nigel gets angry, right? You get angry
I
at
do.
All this stuff.
Yes, I'm working through my anger issues, yes.
Yeah, and you know, so
at least a drink
think about this. Just think about this.
You know, on eBay, you can get those good used mail bags, you know, the kinds that over-the-shoulder strap.
Oh, yeah.
You could get you one
leather.
Of those to help you tote the mail.
Yes.
From Linda Bench, business manager at the Northview Stallion Station. I'm forwarding the enclosed in case you ever decide to further ignore the advice of financial planners and invest in a racehorse.
It's beautiful.
We gave Tori the calendar. It's beautiful. I can't tell you how much it pleases us every year when you mention the Triple Crown races on PTI. I always love Andy Byers' appearances on your podcast, hoping Bootsy enjoys the pictures of the horses as much as my grandchildren do. Well, Tori has the pictures of the horses.
I'll share with Bootsy.
And Matt Jennings from Dacula, not Dracula, but maybe Dacula or Dacula, Georgia.
Dacula.
I don't know.
Dacula.
It is. Mm-hmm. Please find enclosed a sixer of Pony Ride, the latest offering from our local microbrew. I figure Michael can use them to ease the psychological pain caused by his father. I've also thrown in some of my old scorecards. My idea for the 40-foot mural downstairs is to have patrons of your full-service for-profit restaurant bring their old scorecards into adorn said space, and as a bit of marketing and a way to drive sales, you could run a special until the wall is covered that when they bring in a used scorecard, they get 20% off an appetizer when they purchase an entree or something along those lines. And eat it. Lizzo from Matt Jennings. That's a very
good idea.
It's very
That's
nice.
A very good idea. What scorecards did he enclose?
I actually think he failed to enclose them. They were not in the package.
Really? Is that why?
Yes. Send them in.
Later in the show, we'll have Tori tell us all about Vietnam. And she brought us, what's the stuff that you brought?
Commie stuff. Love Saigon.
Oh,
some Vietnamese chocolate. You may hand those out to the crowd
out there.
Yeah.
Are there any like things, surprises in the Vietnamese chocolate,
like crunchy
chocolate?
Frogs or anything like that?
I think it's pretty standard.
Okay, something in there.
That's good. So let me start today with the news that sort of rocked the sports world yesterday.
Rocked.
And this was Anthony Davis. Not Anthony Davis himself, but Anthony Davis's representative, Anthony Davis has not denied this. Anthony Davis's representative, who is Rich Paul, who is LeBron's agent as well, and LeBron's dear friend, which leads to the phrase, collusion, anyone? He has said, Rich Paul said, that Anthony Davis is not going to re-sign in New Orleans. He's not going to extend in New Orleans, and he wants to be traded now. wants to be traded now. And this is the Anthony Davis has said nothing, which is wise. My advice to Rich Paul would have been to say nothing as well, because what he said publicly was that Anthony wants to be on a team that a consistent winner and a team that can compete for the championship, to which I would have said, anytime in the last 35 to 40 years, then do it yourself. You're a great player. You're an MVP kind of player. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Will Chamberlain, Bob Lanier, they never said this.
Yes, Tony, they did.
No, they didn't. No, yeah. Kareem didn't. Kareem wanted to. Kareem took that team to a championship and then asked to be traded.
Still wanted to be traded.
Well, they did.
Demanded to be traded.
Lanier did?
No. Kareem.
Oh, yeah, but he took his team to a championship.
He did.
I mean, Anthony Davis has taken his team to the second round of the playoffs once.
That's right.
This, in my opinion, makes Anthony Davis look weak. But more importantly than that, this is the overarching legacy of LeBron James, who is the most powerful athlete in the NBA, maybe in all of sports. Not for what he's doing right now, but for what he has done already. That he has exercised a type of power that maybe was available before, but nobody saw it in the way LeBron saw it. And LeBron got on a super team. LeBron has made moves to suit LeBron. It's fine. I mean, God bless him for doing that, because he's always delivered as a player. But he put it in the minds of people like Kevin Durant. Okay, I can move. I can win. And he has. I can move. I can win somewhere else. And LeBron, the other part of this, and it's such a great story because LeBron was the first two stories on PTI yesterday, although LeBron had said nothing. LeBron's camp, it is reported by Jackie McMullen that LeBron's camp wants to get rid of Luke Walton. LeBron's camp is LeBron. I mean, LeBron James does not like to be coached. He didn't like Paul Silas. Correct. Tell me every time I'm wrong here.
He liked Paul Silas.
He wanted to get rid of him. He got rid of Mike Brown.
You say these things just because you believe them.
Yes, I believe them.
Doesn't mean that that's true.
He got rid of Mike Brown. He got rid of David Blatt.
He definitely got rid of
David. He did not get rid of Eric Spoelstra because Pat Riley was there. Right. Pat Riley's a strong man. And Pat Riley said, hey, no, we're keeping this guy. He got rid of David Blatt. He brought in Tyronn Lue, his handpicked guy, who, by the way, may end up with the Lakers. Coaching LeBron again. And Cleveland thought this much of Tyronn Lue. Six games into this season without LeBron, they canned him. And they ate his salary. And he's got a championship. Not everybody has that. Mm-hmm. He has a championship. So this is the far-reaching effect of LeBron. And, David, you can refute everything.
Again, you've made this blanket statement because it's what you believe.
That's what I believe.
Some of which may be true. So you're batting about 32%.
That's good.
That's good.
That puts me in the Hall of Fame.
You go to the All-Star game.
320. Yeah, 20. Time hitter. Yeah,
that's fantastic. Right. That's right.
Absolutely. First of all, LeBron's not the first player to do this. You are very aware that in 1982, Magic Johnson said, and he hadn't won anything yet.
Get rid of the coach.
Get him out of here.
That was Paul Westhead.
Get him out of here.
No, that's 100% true.
I believe the quote was, it's him or me.
No, that's 100% true. But he did not say trade me. He said, get rid of the coach, and they did.
No, he said, it's him or me. And now, if you want to keep him, trade me.
And that led to Pat Riley.
And then the next day.
Well, actually led to Jerry West, who said, I don't.
The next day, they said, Paul,
Terry has her hand up.
A question about this, because I'm still completely jet lagged, but I barely know who Anthony Davis is, only because of you guys, right?
Yeah.
So barely
He's a fine player.
And I too, would want to get away from a team called the Pelicans, which is where's some self-respect there.
Right.
But this story was huge. It wasn't just the sports news. It was in regular news as well.
Anthony Davis going to another team, picking correctly, makes that team a championship.
He's a top three player.
Three to five.
Three. Yeah. I mean,
but it was big.
You can make an argument he's the best player in the league. And if you don't think he's the best player in the league, he's one of the three or four best players in the league.
Wow.
I mean,
okay.
Great player.
Sure.
So he's a big domino to fall.
Oh, yeah.
My
point, Tony, is that this has been going on forever. There's nothing new. Players demanding things that they want, and if they don't get them, Kobe Bryant said, trade me, get me out of L.A. When they were bad, he said, get me out of here. They didn't trade him, so you don't have to trade him. They will have to trade Anthony Davis.
But they can do it on their timetable.
They can do it on their timetable. That's all.
He has a year and a half left in his contract.
That's right. That's right.
And do these guys have such outsized influence over the organization because there's so few people on a team?
Yes.
It's remarkable.
Yes.
They really impact the business.
One great player, to Tony's point, makes you a championship contender. LeBron Well, LeBron goes to any one of 30 teams in the NBA, that team automatically is a title contending team.
Yeah.
He's that good.
Yeah.
And so.
And he wants to get rid of Luke Walton.
Now. And he clearly seems to want to get rid of
Who
Luke
I like to refer to on PTI as the current Lakers coach.
The soon to be former Lakers coach.
LeBron does.
It's a passive aggressive thing.
LeBron does not really want to be coached. He's not totally resistant to it as long as you want to do it his way. I mean, I'm sure if Magic Johnson said, I'll coach the team for a while, I think that'd be fine with LeBron. Mm-hmm. But LeBron is the coach and the GM. LeBron is everything. LeBron is everything. And once you get him, and I remember saying this a number of times on PTI, and Wilbon always says, oh, no, but it's true. When you get LeBron, you don't just get LeBron, the player.
The whole deal.
It's overwhelming. Now he's going to eight.
It's straight
working.
It's straight.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
So do coaches go in there thinking, being stupid, thinking, oh my God, I'll be the one that can actually coach? Or do they go in thinking, I'm a Potemkin coach and I'm good with that because you're paying me several million dollars?
Every coach thinks I'm the one.
They truly believe that.
Every coach thinks I'm the one.
I love that.
Like, Wilbon will tell you that Tyronn Lue yells at LeBron. I'm sure he does in the heat of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But LeBron runs the team. Yeah. LeBron brings the players in. LeBron runs the team. Luke, and this is exactly the same as David Blatt in the sense that LeBron went to this team. That coach was in place before LeBron to the team.
That's right.
For when LeBron, automatically at that point goes that. Yeah. You would not dispute he's the most powerful player in all of sports, maybe.
Absolutely.
Certainly in the NBA.
True.
Certainly in the NBA.
No, that's absolutely true.
Luke Walton's not, he's not going to be there.
Dead
much
man
longer.
Walking.
Yeah. He's
dead
just
coach
not.
Walking.
And Tyronn Lue may end up there. Mm-hmm. Or somebody else may end up there. Somebody where you would automatically say this. I'm not going to say you would say he's weak, but you would say he's not the strongest guy in the world. Mm-hmm. He don't want to play for Greg Popovich.
No.
You know, actually, I think he likes Greg Popovich a lot, and theoretically he would, but I agree with
but
you.
But not practically.
I agree with you that once he got there, things
he would say,
problems.
No, this is can't.
So he got on the ground, as we like to
are
say.
Are you telling me? You're yelling at me? What?
Well, if Carmelo can't play anymore, maybe they can bring Carmelo as a coach.
Coach, that'd be awesome.
Jack Nicholson can coach.
Yeah.
if they get Anthony Davis and LeBron, you can coach.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an enormous – I mean, Anthony Davis, not on every team, but on some teams, it's automatic.
We'll see where it winds up.
How old are LeBron James' kids?
His oldest is, I think,
in high school,
14
right?
or 15. Yeah.
So, theoretically, LeBron could keep playing. Does he? Well, he's playing
with
his
son. He said he wants to play with his son in the NBA.
Now, that's making an assumption about his son.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
It'll be such a huge deal. Now the two of them to be on the court at the same time.
The biggest thing in all of this trade stuff is that the most obvious guy, there's a lot of guys who have to go to get anybody, but the most obvious guy is Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
And LeBron
back to Croatia or wherever the family's hanging out.
No.
Yeah, I don't.
Lithuania, the kids, but they're back.
I just don't think the Lakers' offer would be the best offer.
The Boston Celtics, if New Orleans is willing to wait.
Until July 1st.
The Boston, and they can. I mean, they can do whatever they want.
Right.
But Anthony Davis,
right.
He no longer matters. He said what he has to say. He no longer matters. Well, he's now a pawn in this.
I'm looking, I don't have
the numbers. But they can trade Kyrie Irving.
They could, but they won't. But go ahead.
I'm looking at the numbers. I don't know how they match up. David, maybe you know better. But if you match Satoransky and Dwight Howard, maybe Trevor Ariza packages them together.
No, he'd quit. He'd quit rather than come here. Yeah,
I almost did a spit take. First time on the air. I actually almost did a spit take.
So it's sort of it becomes very interesting. I think, and I guess David disagrees. I think this is a bad admission on Anthony Davis's part.
Why do you think it's a bad admission?
Because I think he's saying I can't win by myself.
Nobody can win by themselves. Who wins by title by themselves?
Well, I think that I think if you look at the people LeBron has played with over those not in the Miami years. But in the Cleveland years, I think you would say, wow, that's an extraordinary achievement getting the four straight.
Kyrie Irving was a really good player.
Yes.
So
yes.
the last year was a bunch of mooks.
And he got there.
But he got there. But the ones before, Kyrie Irving's a top 10 player in this league, Tone. You know that.
That was two Kyrie years. Or three?
Well, they got to, what, four straight finals?
Four straight.
With Kyrie? Yeah, well,
no.
With Cleveland.
With Cleveland.
So, three of those 4 years were Kyrie years.
Kyrie's really good.
He's a really good player.
He's really good. So. But Anthony Davis, okay, what this says is the NBA, now there is there is an admission of and a rush to form the kind of team
that LeBron did first. That's pretty remarkable. That gave power to players
yes. as a group that had never existed before.
That's right.
And when they write the history of sports in America, Curt Flood is really important. Mm-hmm. LeBron James is really important.
That's exactly
and
that's
he
what,
knows it.
Yeah. No, he was the guy that said, I'm playing with my super team friends.
That's what I want to do.
And that's what everybody else does.
What I want to do. So
it's working.
And it's working. Yeah, well, working for him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. It's not working for Carmelo. Because he's not in the super league anymore. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll shift gears completely. We'll have Jason LaConfora. And we will talk about, I guess he's in Atlanta.
Yes, that's
for
right.
For the impending ice storm, because
yes.
it's always
Why
icy
is it
in the Super
always,
Bowl.
Always.
Every Super Bowl I've ever gone to in Atlanta is ice-filled yeah. and awful. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Books Inn. We haven't had Books with
Books
us in a while.
Back.
Happy to have them back. And I'm just going to read it straight and roll my eyes every once in a while. Valentine's Day is brutal on us guys. The pressure to buy the perfect gift is intense, right?
Flowers wine, wine, wine.
Flowers are always the right call, but here's where it gets dicey.
No
if you show up with produce department flowers that smell like green onions, you're toast. Same with sending stale flowers plus an upsell balloon from some flower giant website. The Books is the ticket. That's short for bouquets, and these flowers are booking awesome. Like that. Although, it sort of steals from booking.com. You know, it really does. Mm-hmm. Look, there's a huge difference between flowers from the Books and the others, and trust me, she knows it. Books delivers spectacular flowers cut fresh from the finest farms in the world. They even have farms on the side of a volcano that produced the most amazing flowers ever. Books are picked fresh and shipped direct so they stay fresher longer, and Books cut out the middleman so you save big time. Be a hero this Valentine's Day with flowers from the Books. Go to Books.com and enter Tony for 20% off. You have 20% off when you enter Tony at Books.com. Let me spell this. It's B-O-U-Q-S. That's Books.com.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Okay, this comes from Levi Petri or Petri and the Radio Publica. Been a dedicated PTI watcher for years. Have finally embraced the podcast. Was excited to hear you guys feature up and coming bands on the show. Would love to add our music to your library. We're a rock and roll band from Los Angeles, but I grew up in the heart of Cajun country in Lafayette, Louisiana, home of Ron Guidry.
Ooh,
lifelong New Orleans Saints fan. We play guitar-driven music with influences covering older British rock and punk, outlaw country, and Americana based on the music I've heard on the show. Here's some songs would be a good fit. Is this which one is this one?
This is Fight On.
Fight On. This is lovely. This is lovely. Levi Petri or Petri and the Radio.
Lori Petri's son, right?
Yeah. Rob and Lori's kid.
What was their kid's name?
Richie.
Okay. So Jason LaConfora of CBS joins us. Jason, you are in Atlanta now.
I am, Tom.
I've been to three Super Bowls there. Each one was an ice storm. Mm-hmm. It's the worst. It's just the worst.
Just awful.
And I think snow and ice are coming today and tonight. Yes?
That is, that's the word on the street. Apparently they've closed schools and some are 2 hours late already. And people were kind of starting to freak out yesterday afternoon as you went through security checkpoints and stuff. And, you know, overheard some of the locals talking. There was already some significant hand-wringing going on. I guess the mayor had a press conference and everything. So, yeah, we're getting ready to be, I guess, iced on. Yeah.
I've got to tell you that one of them, and it's a long time ago, because I was doing ESPN radio at the time, and they had us in an outdoor tent where we were right by a freeway or something like that, and we could see out the tent, even though it was warm in the tent, and it was the main ESPN radio thing. And I just watched in horror as car after car smashed into other cars in the ice, smashed into guardrails, overturned. You go, oh, my God. I mean, if there's ever a city that cannot handle one drop of snow, it's Atlanta, Georgia. And every damn time they have a Super Bowl, it happens.
Yeah, it's almost as if the football gods or somebody is telling them, have it in a warm place.
Someplace not here.
Yeah.
Right. Or have it, if you're going to go cold, go to a place that understands what snow is. Yeah, it's just...
awful.
Apparently, they don't believe in salt, or they don't invest in salt. I mean, the conversations are about like sand and all these kind of Byzantine ways they try to deal with, I guess, ice and snow that tends to compound the problem. And then there, I guess, there's just an even more irrational fear of this stuff than what you get in the DMV. People, it's like a mind lock. They just kind of melt down. So, yeah, I'm glad I don't have to go outside.
Where's the hangout place for CBS? Where are you based?
Well, for me, it's the hotel bar because we don't get done until like after midnight.
Good for you.
We are doing literally around the clock programming from basically 6 a.m. until midnight on our cable channel, CBS
right.
Sports Network.
Right.
So that keeps me out of trouble and fairly occupied. So by the time we get done, the hotel bar is like doing last call. So
which hotel are you in?
We're at the Omni CNN
okay.
Center.
Okay. Oh, that's a nice.
I don't know.
Nice
am I not
location.
To say that though? I don't know.
Yeah, I have a
cat's out of the bag.
I have a prejudice against.
You're under an assumed name at your hotel.
Yeah. I have a prejudice against.
No, I'm not worried about
Atlanta. I've found that everybody talks about how bad the traffic is in their cities. The two worst cities I ever encountered for traffic were Atlanta and Houston.
You
they were just
bang,
terrible.
Bang. Yep.
Just terrible.
Really?
Yep. If I never go to Atlanta again except to pass through to Augusta, that's okay with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just,
exactly right.
And the hotels are nice. Remember I had that TI incident? Jason, you maybe don't know this. This is a great story. So we were doing Monday Night Football, and I'm in the Ritz in Buckhead. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the concierge level, and it's the night of the BET Awards. Okay, so I'm looking at one of the great fashion shows
I have ever seen in my life.
And I'm saying, is that all they're going to wear? Really? Anyway, I get in a conversation with this guy who's very knowledgeable about football, who's sitting there and is dressed up and has something to do. I don't know who he is. Mm-hmm. Very knowledgeable about football. It's a very pleasant conversation. The next day, I pick up the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and on the front page, there's my guy. He was arrested for having silencers on machine guns.
T.I.,
and I said, whoa, he's a football
guy.
Yeah.
He's my guy.
I can vouch for him. So that was a long time ago. I'm told, and maybe you would know this, maybe this is a topic of discussion, I'm told that because of the two teams that are in this, because there's no real fan base for the Los Angeles Rams, and because there's a certain amount of fatigue among the New England Patriots fans, that there's almost no secondary market for tickets, and they're going for face value all over the place.
Really? Yeah, I hadn't heard. I'm not. I've sort of been cloistered in our own little TV, you know, quasi universe.
Yeah.
So I had not interacted with anybody who would be, you know, looking for tickets or whatever. I haven't seen a lot of. You know, guys on the street selling your signs for, you know, this broker or that broker. It is still early in the week.
Sure.
I don't get the sense that the Patriots fans are over this. I guess judging by like 50,000 of them showed up at that stadium to watch guys like get on a bus and board, you know, an airplane.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay money to do that.
True.
You know, you don't have to travel and pay money and buy these tickets. So I don't know.
I expect it to sound like a Patriots home game.
Yeah, sure.
I agree with
whether
that.
Whether this is a bonanza for, you know, for those who are looking to sell and scalp tickets, that's an interesting thought. You know, hopefully it's compelling TV.
Can I go backwards a little over a week to the game, the no call? Is the NFL somehow now claiming that because of some small written admission that they got the call wrong, that they have dealt with this issue? And Roger Goodell is still hiding under a desk? Really?
Yeah, I don't know that anybody's buying that. I don't know how hard they're selling that narrative. No one's come knocking on my door with that one, but that could be because they know that it really wouldn't fly. Roger's going to talk on Wednesday, and I'm, you know, these press conferences are generally worth not a whole lot.
Right.
Not a whole lot said. It's kind of a way of giving an answer without giving an answer and getting through these excruciating 45 minutes and kind of getting it out of the way. That's usually the vibe. How many of these questions are directed towards officiating, though, as a sociology experiment will be interesting to me. I think it's probably going to be more than the league expects. And, you know, I think sometimes they kind of decide who to call on for these things.
Yeah.
With a bit of a, you know, an eye towards, okay, this one's going to be kind of soft, and this one's going to, you know, ask, I know what that one's going to ask me already, and yada, yada, yada. There may be a barrage of questions about last week. You know, there's some people in New Orleans who still clearly aren't close to over what happened, and are still looking for, not so much looking for answers, because sometimes you just, look, stuff happens and people make mistakes. It's more looking for accountability. It's looking for the league to put its name and its shield to this in the way they think they have
10
to.
Days.
And just sort of own up and man up.
It's unbelievable. The question they want is, it goes like this. Mr. Commissioner, how many games will it be played in London next year?
Right.
That's the easy one. But I mean, the arrogance of this is just beyond the pale to me, that Roger Goodell could not deal with this personally for 10 days. And then we'll take one or two questions and try to move on. I can't believe that. Now, I would say that it's fireable. I have said it's fireable on the PTI show. Now, I don't expect him to get fired, but how is there support even among other owners for this?
Well, here's the thing, that other than Gail Benson, the owners have been silent. And they've got their social media platforms and their team's Twitter and accounts and Facebook, and it would be very easy for them to express some form of solidarity with Gail Benson. That has not happened at all, period. And these are not owners who, you know, they're not all rah-rah big, you know, Roger Goodell guys either. I just get the sense that this is one where if you wait it out long enough, if you, you know, gulp hard enough, you eventually get past it, and then the business of football goes on, and we may make a tweak here or a tug here or a slight alteration there, but I don't think they're going to be willing to do the kind of, I guess, introspective deep dive that it might take to turn this into truly some sort of a touchstone for the league and some, you know, inflection point where now we do things drastically different because we can never let this happen again. I don't think that's where this is going. And you know, how hard would it have been to put together 7-8 sentences that basically say we screwed up and we want to do better next time?
Unbelievable.
It sounds like it would be incredibly easy. In fact,
it does.
It sounds like it would be much harder to go through all of this rather than just do that, you know, two Sunday nights ago and then start the actual process of getting beyond this, which clearly hasn't happened yet, at least with the football media and fans at large, and certainly with anybody in New Orleans.
As another embarrassment for the NFL, why are they continuing the Pro Bowl? Well, why are they doing this?
Did you see the ratings, Tone?
I think five.
Good, man.
I think over 5 million or 6 million people.
5.8 million.
But it's like the linemen simply stand up and they touch each other on the shoulder, and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a game.
Yeah, it's kind of a wink and a nod, right? It's
not a game.
Very cerebral, really, when you think about it. It's not going away because it outdraws playoff games in other sports. And
it does.
It's sort of part of the football calendar. It's woven in, and it provides content for, you know, the NFL Network and, you know, the week of practices and all the availability to players. And I don't think it's going to be in Orlando again anytime soon because it seemed to be played in a monsoon, which runs counter to the idea of putting it there in the first place. But it will continue to be changed a little bit here and there, you know, how they pick the teams, and you know, now we've got running backs rushing the passer, so, you know, they'll find ways to keep playing around with it, but for whatever reason, millions of people watch that thing. I don't know who they are. I've never identified one.
I
don't know, you know, how Nielsen does this stuff. But they're pretty adamant that that thing got an 8 share, so it's here to stay.
Okay. I don't really have – I'm not going to ask you to pick winners on these games. I mean, the big news yesterday was Nickell Robey-Coleman saying that Brady is showing his age, and, you know, and Brady is going to target him, and
once
he throws a touchdown pass at him, he's going to run down the field and point at him like he's done before. But do you – if New England were to lose this game, if Tom Brady were to go to 5-4 in Super Bowls, mm-hmm. The amount of Super Bowls 9 is stunning. No one's ever going to get there. But if he's only won 5 of them, will there be any movement to reassess Brady and his greatness?
It's a seven-month offseason, so in some quarters, probably. I'm sure that narrative will start to emerge. And let's face it, there's a lot of people who hate these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Who think they're smug and arrogant and are overwatching them in big games, much less Super Bowls. And so I think there's a big, big portion of America that's ready for this to end. I think there's a lot of other people, though, too, who, whether you like them or dislike them or whatever, the magnitude of this accomplishment and how much respect it deserves is kind of mind-blowing. I mean, 9 Super Bowls, 8 straight championship games. I mean, all this stuff, it's kind of nuts. You know, and whether they win or whether they lose, the fact that they got here again at a point in time where at least some people thought, hey, that thing, we've seen the best of that. They obviously derive a lot of inspiration from that, and that's one of their motivating, you know, tools and tactics that seems to keep working for them. But I don't think they're losing the game. I don't.
Oh, really?
I hope it stays close for ratings purposes, but I think New England's in a pretty good spot here, and I think it's going to have a lot to do with fullbacks and two tight end sets, mm-hmm. and power running, mm-hmm. you know, and counters and running off tackle and finding some joy out on sort of the fringes of that Rams defense out in space and throwing a lot of wheel routes to James White and watching those linebackers struggle to cover him. I don't think that it's going to be a Tom Brady tour de force or one of these where, you know, he's making big throw after big throw. I think it's another death by a million paper cuts.
Okay. All right, you want to plug the podcast? Are you doing a podcast this week from Atlanta?
I don't know if we're doing one or not, Tone. But if you're interested in Baltimore sports, you can always check out the Be More Opinionated podcast, www.bmoshow.com, or on iTunes, anywhere you get your podcast stuff. And if we do a podcast, I'm going to go out on a limb and say we'll be talking about the Ravens and the Orioles, because that's pretty much what we do.
That's what you do. All right, enjoy Atlanta if you can, and hang around for last call. Thank you, Jason.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Jason LaCanfora, who's great. It's absolutely great. We'll take a break. We will come back with news. Nigel has prepared fantastic news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
So this is the Quip ad, and I'm going to do option one. The new year means new resolutions, and we've got one you're working on twice every day. It's your oral health. And with a Quip electric toothbrush, sticking to good habits is simple. The guiding feature are like built-in support system for better brushing. It has sensitive sonic vibrations for an effective clean that's gentle on your sensitive gums. A lot of people brush too hard. Some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive. It's got a built-in two-minute timer, which pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides and help you to clean your mouth evenly, because 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes or clean evenly. It's got brush heads that are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, a friendly reminder when it's time for a refresh and to stay committed to your oral health. 75% of us use old, worn-out bristles that are ineffective. I got a battery the other day for my Quip. I got a battery and a new brush.
In the mail?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was able to put in the new brush. I was unable to put in the new battery. Michael, I asked you to put in the battery, and you said it doesn't need a battery.
Well, I refused to put the new battery in because while you needed the brush, the battery was still working fine. And
yes.
I think the battery will give you signals like it won't work anymore as to when you should put that new battery in.
But I couldn't open the...
What I appreciated, though, is you took the toothbrush out of the bathroom, so I didn't need to take that just walk of shame up the steps.
No. I took it out for you.
So you brought the toothbrush to the dining
room table.
Now I have
it in a plastic bag.
Yeah, oh, that's picking up germs.
No, I have it in a plastic bag. Oh, no, it's sealed. But
yeah, the seal's the issue.
I don't know how to change the battery.
But the old battery is still fine.
Okay. It says, say why you love Quip. I love Quip, but I'm afraid that my battery's going out.
When the battery goes out, you put the new one in.
I couldn't open the toothbrush. That was my point.
Alexa, open the toothbrush.
I couldn't do it. Over a million happy, healthy mouths love Quip.
Why can't
Quip starts at just $25. If you go to getquip.com/Tony K right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack for free at, and I'm going to spell it, G-E-T-Q-U-I-P, getquip.com/TonyK.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Today is the day we all say goodbye. Okay. Let's clear the air that's between you and I. If I had a choice, how I would die, it's with you right by my side.
This is called the rapture. It makes itself very clear at the beginning what it's about. This is the second song today by Levi Petri and the Radio Publica. They're the Los Angeles rock and roll band with the Cajun influences. This has an Irish influence to it, obviously.
Yeah, a little bit,
you can hear that. Michael, if people like Levi Petri want to send music in for us to consume, and you can hear all of it at the end of the show, all of it, how do they do so?
Email us all of your just uplifting songs by sending them to jingles at tonykornheisershow.com.
Got all this Vietnam stuff. We'll get to this in a little while when we talk to Tori. She stole stamps, or did you buy stamps?
I bought them.
Okay. Ho Chi Minh City. It's a place I've never wanted to go and still don't. Nigel has news for us.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. Before I get to the news proper, even though we're not going to have trivia here at Chatter tonight, I just want to give you a sample trivia question.
Go ahead.
Which character from The Godfather was shot through the eye while getting a massage?
Mo.
Mo Green.
Well, some are easier than others. Just
that's very easy. Mo Green. Boom. Okay. Right eye.
It was his right eye.
I believe so.
As he was putting his glasses on, right?
It was his right eye.
Who was the actor who played Mo Green?
I don't remember.
Oh, he just passed
not
away.
Not Michael Vigato.
Alex Rocco.
Yeah, he just passed away.
That's right.
But here's a trivia. All right, this is a little harder for you.
Yeah.
There's a baseball game on the radio when Sonny goes through the toll booth.
I don't know that.
Is it the Bobby Thompson home run?
It's not that inning, but yes, it's that game. It's
that
earlier
right?
in the game.
Go, David.
Yes, so that's 1951.
1951.
October? September?
Yeah, October. Yeah, probably early October, right?
Very
October.
Early.
October 3rd.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's what I think.
Yes.
Bad day for Sonny.
I have.
Ralph Franca.
Yeah, but good day for Bobby Thompson.
Good day for Bobby Thompson.
Good day for
bad
Bobby
day
Thompson.
For Bobby for Franca. Yes.
That's
for
one of the very few autographs I've ever gotten in my life.
Bobby Thompson?
And Ralph Franca.
Oh.
I sent away, Dick Chapp used to have a golf tournament at Alpine, New Jersey, at the Alpine Country Club in New Jersey. And he asked me to play in it a few times, and one time, both Bobby Thompson and Ralph Branca. Ralph Branca was a very good golfer, and Bobby Thompson and Ralph Branca were playing in it. And I went over, this is 25 years ago, and I went over to both of them, one with a piece of paper and one with a napkin.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, would you sign this? And they did, on separate pieces of paper. In those days, I used to go almost yearly to the Baseball Hall of Fame for vacation and stay at the Otisaga Hotel, as far as I'm concerned, the best hotel in the world. And I went over to the hall, and I bought a picture of the moment after that happens, where Ralph Branca has his back to the mound. He's walking off, mm-hmm. and Jackie Robinson's got his hands on his hips,
mm-hmm.
and Thompson is circling the bases. And I put that in a frame and put those two autographs under that. And that's just about... I've got one other, I think, Don Larson.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and Don Larson has made a living signing this particular picture. It's when he delivers the last pitch to Dale Mitchell.
Okay. Okay.
And in the background, you can see the scoreboard, and it's
all zero.
Yeah, and he signs it, Don Larson. So I don't think I have any. I've saved a couple of letters from famous people who wrote me letters, or I wrote them letters and they returned the letters.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in terms of sports, I think that's all I've got.
Wow.
And they are from very, very far back in my youth, back. I don't know. Do you have any? Do you have any autographs?
I have some stuff. Also from not golf tournaments, but like charity events and things where they have auctions.
Yeah.
So I've got.
Oh, yeah, I bought a couple of those. Yeah.
But David, have you ever gone up to someone and asked for his or her autograph?
I'm trying to remember.
I did twice.
I'm sure I have. Nothing comes to mind. I'm sure I have at some point.
I got an autograph once for my wife from the designer, if you remember this name, Halston.
Sure.
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
I asked, could he please sign? It was just a piece of yellow paper. I felt a little bit embarrassed. I mean, David and I come from a culture where you just
you cannot do it.
Can't do it in the locker room. People come in, they bring shoes, it's like the Matthew McConaughey's of the world who do this, and you want to kill them.
Lee Smith gets very angry with you when you.
Yeah. You have to work with those
nervous guys. Come in here, ask me for my autograph. What?
Check this.
What? So I've done it. I you know, it's hard to. It goes against what we're taught. Yeah. Goes against what
you
we're taught.
You got to be careful. When you go to these auctions, though, and these silent auction schools, especially in a town like D.C., they're always for sale. Whenever I see them, I always say, back in the day, in the late 40s and 50s, my mom worked for the Pirates in the Pittsburgh Pirates press office.
And she signed them.
And they were called the girls, would sit and they'd have bushels full of baseballs and they'd sign them.
I watched many nights covering playoff games with the Philadelphia 76ers, I'd watch all the kids in the office just sign everybody's name. Yeah. And they would say, "Well, that looks good. That looks like
spot on."
And you would spend $1,000 or what the equivalent now, $5,000 for a ball. Mm-hmm. It's not signed by them.
Yeah. Right.
It's not signed.
One of my favorite photographs is of a Chicago Cubs player in the 1930s named Gabby Hartnett, the Hall of Fame catcher, going over to the stands to sign a ball for a fan whose name happened to be Al Capone.
Is that right? Oh, wow. Well, you don't mess around with that.
I'm sorry, I
preempted your news.
That's one you signed.
That is definitely one that you signed. Mr. Tony, we'll start off with the association.
Yeah.
The Warriors.
They're really good.
Yeah, appears that they're ready.
Like you thought they were really good. Boogie Cousins.
Yeah. 11 in a row now.
Boogie Cousins, who probably for the first time in his life is on a team where he's not the centerpiece and where he feels he has something to prove. And he is just what the doctor ordered.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
when he came back.
They could not. It's possible. I said they had 35 left, and I didn't think they would lose more than 5.
They could run the table.
They could run the table.
Could run the table.
They could run the table. They won't, but they could. Right. They're good enough that they could. But yeah.
They're that good.
Yeah.
Do you see anybody beating them? In the playoffs? I don't.
The game, I think it was on Saturday night with them and the Celtics. None of the Celtics aren't as good as everyone thought they were, but that was a terrific game.
Okay, but we had this question on PTI yesterday. Should they be encouraged or discouraged, the Celtics, for what happened? And Wilbon said they should be encouraged. I said, what are you, nuts? They had 3 days off before that game. Yeah. They're playing at home.
Yeah.
The other team is on the back end of a 2-week road trip, and you lost the game.
Yeah.
You lost it. Just, what?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, you're not there.
Yeah.
So they are really good. They kill. Okay, Indiana doesn't have Victor Oladipo, but they killed them.
Yeah, 132-100 the final.
Just killed them.
Yeah.
They're just really good.
To college, another team that people think are just okay, Duke wins a close one with Notre Dame, 83-61 the final there. Zion with 26-9.
Here's the this kid is shooting almost 70%. Almost 70, like he's right at 70%. And these are league games now where you think the defense would be a little bit more strenuous. And you ask yourself, what's he doing? what is the restraint of trade on this kid? What are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, go to the NBA.
Go to the
You're pros. Good enough.
I suspect he'll be going to the NBA.
No, I know he will. But, you've watched a million games.
Sure.
And I know he's a kid. And I know there is a learning curve. But is he learning anything in college that prepares him for the NBA?
No, not really.
I don't think
he is. Not really, but there's something to be said for competing at a high level. And here's the thing, Tony. He is being coached at a high level.
Oh, he is, with Krzyzewski.
So from that standpoint,
even LeBron allowed Krzyzewski to take him out of a game.
So he's learning a little something.
It's really an amazing deal. By the way, can I just plug a piece, a very nice piece in the Post today on James Brown?
Yes.
A very lovely piece on James Brown.
Who is the broadcaster, right?
James Brown,
RJB.
Right. No, who is a fine and good man.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who we've known forever and ever and ever and ever, and it is a fine and good man.
Yes.
So, what else you got?
To the NFL, Mr. Tony. Looks like Adam Vinatieri continues to beat Father Time, the 46-year-old.
He missed one in the playoffs, didn't he?
He missed a field goal and an extra point, I think, in that game.
Sure.
He will be returning to the Indianapolis Colts. He's the all-time leading scorer. He's played. This will be his 24th season. We all think that he is going to the Hall of Fame,
right? Yeah, we do. But there are very, very, very few kickers in the Hall of Fame. Is there only Stenerud?
Stenerud's the only kicker. Is Ray Guy in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, and he should be as a punter.
As he finally got in.
So there's only one? Okay, so this is what I'm going to say.
I thought he was the only one. Maybe
there are three guys out there now who I think are Hall of Fame guys.
Okay.
I think Guskowski. I think Vinatieri.
Yeah.
And I think Sebastian Janikowski.
You think Janikowski is a
He's
Hall of Famer?
He's banging them from further than anybody more consistently. Wow.
I don't think he's Hall of Famer. The other two, I definitely think are Hall of Famers. Yes.
And then they're kickers. Yeah. And no player wants kickers in the Hall
right.
of Fame.
Right, sure. I understand.
Here's who this is just what I'm looking at on the internet. It says Jan Stenerud in
he's
Hall
in.
Of Fame.
He's in.
George Blanda.
Well, no, he was a player as well.
Lou the Toe Groza.
He was a player as well. He was an offensive tackle.
Ray Gee. Is that
Ray Guy. He's a punter.
French.
Punter.
And Morton Anderson.
Oh, okay. So now there's two. So yes.
Morton Anderson's in.
Yeah. Okay.
Ray Gee.
Why do the other players not want them in?
By the way,
take up a slot?
No, they hate them. Players
hate
them.
They're just like, you're not really a player. You just come out and you kick the ball.
So this is interesting. If I'm not mistaken, both Jan Stenerud and Morten Andersen are born outside the United States.
I think that's true.
Morten Andersen, I think, is Danish.
Yeah.
Jan Stenerud is Swedish. I want to take a guess.
I might be wrong.
Wow.
You are, let's see. I've got.
I'm taking a guess here.
Norwegian. Jan Stenerud is Norwegian, and Morten Andersen is in fact Danish.
So, Vinatieri is going to be the first American-born kicker in an American game that nobody cares about outside of the United States. They don't.
That's right.
What
That's
else?
Right.
This is a public service announcement for our good friend Michael Wilbon and the good people of Chicago. If you're walking around in that freezing weather,
it's not just freezing. Yeah, it's like way below freezing.
50 below, right? Do wear a winter coat, but do not wear your Canada Goose coat.
Yeah.
These jackets could be sell up upwards of, what, $1,000?
I think so.
There are now reports over the past 2 weeks.
People stealing them.
Police say, people, there have been a spate of thefts, people walking up to him with a gun and saying, give me that jacket.
Gub.
Yeah, well, gub. Is that a gun?
So this is like a starter jacket situation.
Police say two men jumped from a Mercedes. Clearly they're doing well.
High end.
Showed a gun, punched a 54-year-old man before forcibly taking his coat and wallet on Wednesday. The same night, two other men showed a gun to a 23-year-old man walking with a friend and said, give us your Canada Goose, man.
Okay, so I've gone at great length to talk about Canada Goose, which I don't own.
And they still haven't sent us any free coats.
No, they haven't. But these things, apparently, they're it.
Yeah.
They're the warmest things in the world. They're pricey.
$1,000.
$1,000.
That's a lot.
And they're not pretty.
Right.
They're just big hulking coats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
Wilbon's got four of them. How many do you need?
That's an expensive patch.
Yeah. I was tempted. I was tempted to buy one, and our daughter Devin said, I will shoot you if you buy one.
Well, so better her than the guys in Chicago.
Yeah,
doing
but
it.
I did get a little one for our dog. Ovi the rescue dog has a little dog version. It's
not
a real. No, it's not a real Canada. It's a ripoff.
Okay.
It's a fake one, but it's pretty cute.
Canada Moose?
Yeah. I think that's what it is, actually. I think it's Canada Moose. And he's pretty hot in the dog park.
Yeah. Well, it's Canada Moose.
And he's warm.
Is that it? Are we good?
That is it. Is the Canada Goose jacket warmer than the Lillehammer jacket?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
No, they're the best.
Oh, wow.
And that's why you see them on the streets of northern and midwestern cities. Mm-hmm. I guess they're sold here, but I don't think you see them because you don't need them here
most of the time.
You're going to need them the next 2 days.
Yeah.
But
most people who wear these jackets don't need them. They want them.
Right.
There's
that's
a big difference.
That is a great point.
Well, they're not out working on the oil pipeline.
If you lived in Minnesota right now, in Minneapolis, where on the Today Show this morning, it was...
Did you hear something about
the eyeballs? Your eyeballs can freeze.
Oh!
Dylan Dreyer said your eyeballs can freeze. I wrote that down.
Yeah. Your eyeballs can freeze.
Your eyeballs can freeze, she said.
That can't be good.
No, that doesn't seem to be working for anybody.
It's that cold. Five minutes exposed skin frostbite. 5 minutes. Mm. Up there in Minneapolis.
Yikes.
I mean, that's... Come on. Now, I understand they're used to cold, but you can't get used to that.
Eyeball freezing weather.
And be careful putting drops in.
There you go.
And the drop won't get there.
just bounce off.
Yeah, but the drop itself outside wouldn't get there as liquid.
Oh, that's right. It'd freeze.
Yeah.
So now you'd have frozen liquid on your eyeball.
All right, which is frozen.
Yeah.
All right, we're done.
Good news.
We will have Guy Radio when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Lowe's ad. It's so well written. Lowe's is my new go-to destination where I can explore and you can explore by extension the latest innovative Craftsman products, including their new V20 power tool battery platform. Craftsman's V20 cordless power tool lineup features a high-capacity lithium battery that's part of Craftsman's interchangeable battery system. So it works with all tools in their V20 lineup, giving you the runtime you need and the power you deserve, which David and I talk about often, the runtime that we need.
Yeah, sure. You guys won't.
David also not a big do-it-yourself guy.
No.
The one battery system.
Very qualified to do those things.
The one battery system works on multiple products, making the V20 lineup easy to use and versatile for the workerman that you call to come to your house to fix whatever's wrong. V20 brushless power tools are proudly made in the United States. Global materials are in them, but they're made in Charlotte, North Carolina. All have brushless motors delivering high efficiency, better runtime, more power, and greater durability for all your products. You can explore the entire Craftsman V20 lineup at your local Lowe's store or visit Lowe's.com/Tony. That is Lowe's.com/Tony. Lowe's, the new home of Craftsman.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Paul Simon. This is The Boy in the Bubble. This is from Graceland, I believe.
Yeah, his new album just came out, didn't it?
He has a new album?
No. I think of Graceland as this new album that just came out.
It's one of the greatest albums of all time. Yeah. He's totally brilliant. He was the first recipient of the Gershwin Prize for popular songwriting. I went, Michael, you went that night.
Yes.
Great. Got to see Simon and Garfunkel sing, which is amazing. We are playing this because?
Because on this date in 1997, the Paul Simon musical, The Cape Man, opened on Broadway.
Bombed.
Yeah.
Bombed. Done in a week.
Yeah.
Bombed.
It was about
a guy named Salvatore Agron, who was somebody who stabbed somebody to death in New York City.
Was that the one where nobody paid, nobody helped or?
No.
That's Kitty Genovese in Forest Hills.
Okay. No, this was something different. And Paul Simon, being a New York kid, was probably fascinated by it and wrote an entire musical, and it failed.
Wow.
Paul Simon failed, and he's brilliant.
Yeah, he's still a genius. He said about this song, The Boy in the Bubble,
great song.
Yeah, hope and dread, that's right. That's the way I see the world, the balance between the two, but coming down on the side of hope.
Yeah.
So it's a lovely song.
Is he still singing?
I believe
he
is.
Or did he sort of say, I'm done?
Did he say he was done?
I don't know. I'm just sort of wondering.
I think he was on SNL earlier this year.
Singing?
Yeah.
Good for him. Okay. It's show and tell time, kids.
Yeah.
Tori is back from Vietnam. She has brought lovely Vietnam parting gifts, including magnets and stamps, all of which have a military theme.
Yes, they do.
And chocolate, coffee bean chocolate. What does that mean?
Because Vietnam is a very large exporter of coffee beans now.
So, but I would think, how do you make chocolate out of coffee?
Coffee and cocoa, I guess.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
So tell us about Vietnam.
It was great. We went to Cambodia for a couple of days, where I've never been, and we saw Angkor Wat and all these incredible 10th, 11th century palaces, and I thought they'd all be just little bits and pieces of ruins, but they're very, very, very...
Angkor Wat is famous throughout the world.
Angkor Wat is famous throughout the world for a reason, and they're massive, and they're incredibly well-preserved, and I can't believe they're well-preserved, because they're just out in the open, and people... Tourists are touching everything and rubbing their hands all over these incredible reliefs against the walls, and they don't seem to mind. So we did Cambodia, which is very, very cool. And then we did went to Vietnam, where we were 30 years ago. It's just a little bit different. And we were in Hanoi, and then way in the center of the country, and then Saigon, technically called Ho Chi Minh City, but everybody says it's okay to call it Saigon. And spectacular.
I understand that that the tide of global movement... It does move slowly sometimes. I understand that we are now allied with Japan and we are allied with Germany, and that would have been unthinkable in 1952 or something like that. I understand our relationship with Korea has evolved over the years. At my age, Vietnam is a little bit different for me, and I wanted to avoid Vietnam when I was young, and I still want to avoid it, but... But it's remarkable to me that we are close. I mean,
we
went in there and attempted to obliterate. We didn't go in there like we went to Germany and Japan. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it's really not the same.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that they don't hold a grudge.
No.
I would hold a grudge.
Really?
I would hold it. Huge.
We might have talked about this last night. 30 years ago when we were there, pre-normalization relations, they were incredibly nice, incredibly friendly, and you can still see bomb craters. Bomb craters have been turned into fish ponds.
They don't have like rides, like Vietnam War rides or something nostalgic.
No, but I will get to that. But we asked them then, said, why are you so nice to us? We did try to bomb you. Who was it back to the Stone Age?
Yes.
And they said, at the time, they said, oh, you know, we hate the Russians so much, you guys not so bad. And now, same thing, incredibly friendly, and you go, why? And they said, well, you know, we hate the Chinese so much, so it isn't bad. But everybody forgets, first of all, they don't call it the Vietnamese War, right? It's the American War.
Sure.
And by the way, they beat us. They beat the French.
They
kicked out the Mongols, right? Lots of people have tried to do bad things to them, and they tend to win. So the winners tend to be a little bit more gracious sometimes.
Well, one of the reasons they win is because they're willing to undergo unbelievable personal hardship to win.
Yeah.
To live under the ground
years. We went into the Chuchi tunnels.
Yeah.
We went, and it's 150 miles underground. The most bizarre conditions. They tended not to be in there. They would be in there for days and perhaps a couple weeks at a time. But remarkable, they were the system that they built.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have a different sense of time, though. And we started talking to lots of people about this. We thought we were going to go into Vietnam and be there for a couple of years. And that we completely misunderstood them, misunderstood the culture, misunderstood what was going on in Vietnam at the time. It wasn't this monolith of people, if you will.
We've misunderstood a lot of people in countries that we don't come from.
Yeah. I can't remember. It might have been the foreign minister at
Afghanistan.
The time.
We completely don't understand Afghanistan.
The foreign minister at the time during the Vietnamese war, as we call it, said, you want to be fighting us for 5 years? Fine. 10, 20, we're here. We're not going away. Mm-hmm. Right? But now, when we were in Hanoi 30 years ago, literally very little electricity, no cars on the streets. It was that backwards. Beautiful streets, beautiful buildings, French. Now it's a booming, vibrant, beautiful city. Saigon is like New York City, and it's great. Really, really great. Mm-hmm. Great businesses, great restaurants. Again, really, really nice people. They're doing more and more tourism.
You understand that for me. This is so hard for me to believe.
Yeah. One of the most interesting threads of tourism they have now is U.S. military who served in Vietnam going back.
Mm-hmm.
And there are travel agencies set up specifically for that, and they bring them back, and people seem to get a lot of peace from going back for that. But yeah.
Are there tourist spots? Are there like grand hotels?
Yes.
Like you hear about in other places?
On the one hand, I'm happy for the Vietnamese people, but we were in Saigon 30 years ago. We went to the Rex and the Caravelle, right? The Rex Hotel, famous for 5 o'clock follies. And it looked, 30 years ago, it looked pretty much the way it looked during the war. Dilapidated, divey kind of place. And now they're high-end, spiffy hotels.
Mm-hmm.
They've been blown up 10, 15 stories, and they're very fancy. But to your earlier point, they make such a big romantic version of these things that we associate with the war. So the Rex and Caravelle are big tourist attractions. A bar called Apocalypse Now is a big tourist attraction. Right? A big deal of it. They still, 30 years ago, they took us to the site where John McCain was shot down, and they at the time the Vietnamese put up a monument to John McCain. It was about shooting him down. And I had seen pictures of it for years, and I knew what it said was, on October 26, 1967, the brave Vietnamese people shot down the crown prince of the enemy air pirates, John McCain, blah, 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 commie propaganda. And so when we went to see it 30 years ago, the guide's taking us around, the guide who was with the government who had detained us, and he says, would you like me to read you the inscription? And I started to say, no, I know what it says. But then I thought, I'll just be polite and let him read it. And the translation at that time, when he gave it to us, was because they loved John McCain by then. They want to normalize relations. So his translation at the time was, on October 26, 1967, our friend John McCain fell from the sky and was rescued by the Vietnamese people from the lake. 30 years later, they, of course, take us there and looks exactly the same. City's much busier. And again, the guy says, would you like me to translate it for you? And I said, sure. And he has pretty much the same translation, which is just hilarious. It's still a communist country.
It is a communist.
Yes.
Country. Are the tourists mostly American?
There are a lot
of
Americans. There aren't a lot of Americans. They get a lot of Chinese, and they don't like the Chinese. Can I look this up on my phone? One of our tour guides, who was very, very adamant how much he didn't like the Chinese, he said this little phrase several of times. China everywhere in the world, they're too much noisy. They really, they like the money. They come in and they spend a lot of money in big groups, but they don't like them. A lot of Chinese, some Koreans, Australians, Canadians, and Americans.
This is just, it's just a metaphorically, yeah. It's a bridge too far for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We didn't go to the beaches, but the beaches are supposed to be spectacular, and it's some of the best surfing in the world now.
I got you.
Economic progress is incredible. After the war, when the commies tried all sorts of crazy things, including the collectivization, a word I can't say, of the rice, for instance, they destroyed the rice production. People were starving. They actually had to import rice. Now they're obviously a big exporter of rice, big exporter of coffee. They've got a thriving financial and tech community booming. They are very well-educated people.
Do they? But they're still under communist rule.
Yes.
There must be some freedoms they don't have.
Oh, tons of economic freedom.
Are they jealous of America in any way?
No. They quite a few want and do try to get here to study. But if they can't get here to study and learn things and then go back, then they'll go to Canada. It's getting harder to get into Western Europe. But they like to send the more well-off families want to send their kids here to be educated. And then a good 15-20% of them, according to one guy I talked to, come back and then start businesses there.
What was the essential difference between Cambodia and Vietnam? Does Laos still exist, or is that another country now?
No, it still exists. Cambodia, parts of it beautiful and nice people. Angkor Wat you can't beat, but economically way behind Vietnam. And Brian and I were talking about at the time. They're very close to, they're right there next to each other. The people have got to be related in some ways over time. But it struggles. It's not doing well. And again, Vietnam is a communist country, but they decided 20, 25 years ago, I think the program is called Doi Moi. I don't know what that stands for. But it was, we're going to be a communist country and our politics are communist, but economically it's free market. And they embrace that. And they somehow have been able to balance it.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you were able to keep the people under the thumb of a leader and still they're better men than I.
Yeah, no, they seem to balance.
I wonder.
It very well.
I may have my geography wrong. I may have it wrong. Is the Dominican Republic absolutely next to Haiti, separated by a mountain chain?
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
And that would be, and not that the Dominican Republic is fantastically wealthy, but
right.
Yes, right next door, it's tremendous difference, and one country is soliciting tourism and all of that, and the other is...
Yeah, and the thing, again, the arrogance of us, the hubris of the United States, things I didn't even realize, even after the Vietnamese War, as we call it, they were they're fighting Thailand, the incursions from the Thais. They're still fighting over borders there.
Thailand is very devoted to tourism, is it not?
Yes, and they...
More so than...
Yeah, and that's an overused, tired country because they just went nuts on the tourism and killed the goose that laid the golden egg.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought everybody
loves Vietnam,
to go.
Go to Vietnam, don't go to Thailand. You couldn't pay me to go back to Thailand.
That's a long swim. I'm not gonna.
I have one question for Tori. You said that Saigon is like New York City.
Yeah.
Does that mean the rest of the people in Vietnam call it Saigon style pizza?
Yes.
Or do they just call it pizza?
No, but they have a show there called Miss New York City. They have a big musical. Miss New York City.
Oh, and by the way, I should point out, Paul Simon has indeed announced his retirement.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, last February. And his farewell performance was at Flushing Meadows Corona Park in Queens.
That's sort of what I thought.
September 22nd, last year.
Yeah. I'm not going to step on any of that. I just wanted to mention one thing. There was a commercial I saw today on ESPN early in the morning for something called Force Factor, which you text them and they send you a bottle of testosterone pills.
Okay.
And the entire premise of the commercial is that men are weak. They show you Iwo Jima, somebody's carrying the flag, and then they show you somebody laying there getting eucalyptus leaves put on their faces or something like that. It's just sort of amazing. And one of the taglines is to the men, do America a favor and get this test. God, do America a favor.
Uncle Sam.
I got to tell you, if I'm in charge of commercials, I'm not taking that.
Right.
I mean, I'm not. And it's free. Yeah. I guess they hook you down the road. I don't know what it is, but I'm not. I'm done.
How do we feel about the Super Bowl not taking the cannabis ads?
Yeah.
I'm unaware.
Yeah, they refused to take the marijuana ads.
Well, marijuana is legal in only three states?
No.
It's all over the place now.
Yeah.
Why? What was the reasoning?
I don't know that they really gave one.
He says
legal
nine?
In nine states.
Nine
legal
states?
In nine states.
I think it's
They didn't give a reason? Well, I'll say 2 years from now, Roger Goodell can be asked that question. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We will have jingles, emails, whatever. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
If you come here, we will gift you. Get some breakfast and watch the show. Spend your money, buy a t-shirt. And here is why you need to leave your dough. 'Cause it's a for-profit restaurant in Northern D.C. Meet Tony, Allen, Gary, and Maury. 'Cause it's a for-profit restaurant in Northern D.C. Buy a fruity drink and we'll throw Saliza in for free.
Just such a good tagline. That's written by Harry Salter in Abbottstown, Pennsylvania, and, of course, sung by Joe Arrow, who's just absolutely wonderful. We appreciate that. Let me thank Jason Locke and Four of CBS for coming on the show with us today. Let me thank today's sponsors, Lowe's, Books, and Quip. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Jake in Manhattan, if Golden State or the Beatles, what does that make the Wizards? Herman's Hermits? From Hampton Nager, who always likes to sign off, he goes, Luke's appearance on Friday has changed my mental picture, cocktail hour for The Tony Kornheiser Show. Chris Saliza with a Malibu and Coke in front of him, probably with a paper umbrella and one anemic ice cube. Luke Russert with a bourbon and Mountain Dew. If this isn't in a big gulp cup, someone is lying to himself. Mr. Tony with a Johnny Walker Blue served up, poured out of a signed and numbered bottle at wholesales for $160. How long will it be before Luke admits that he has two cats named Francia and Yellowtail, and they both weigh about 11 pounds? Knowing that a Jeroboam, is that how that's pronounced? That's a giant.
Oh, the really big bottle. Yeah.
Jeroboam of Veuve Clicquot weighs more than some pets. I am Hampton Nager in Dallas, Texas. From Bill in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. I heard you read an email from someone who didn't have a dog. I don't think you should be reading emails from people like that. You don't need those people in your life. That's interesting. From Chris Jones, and this is long. This past Saturday, the wife and I took our four-year-old son to the American University for men's basketball versus Bucknell. She's a proud double graduate of AU, undergraduate in law school, and was the alumni board for a few years as well on it. Please understand that she has been having her own version of the David Aldridge moment for a long while. Watch a game on TNT in her presence in the last decade, and you were sure to hear, that's David Aldridge. Did you know he went to AU? For God's sakes, woman, yes. She was fairly excited upon realizing our sites were just a few feet from David. I've always admired David's work and have described him to her as one of the calmer, rational, and less prone to hyperbolic nonsense, an actual professional journalist. So how does that guy compare to the DA she saw rooting for his alma mater on Saturday? Let's just say David was engaged with the competition. Now, we should be clear. David was positive, supportive of every young man on that squad, knew them all by name, gave them props for every smart basketball play. However, the refs and opposing coach, given the chance, I think David would have strangled to death the shortest of the refs, and Bucknell's coach deserved somewhere in the range of 25 technicals.
Would have punched him in the head, yes.
The hands went to the face in all matter of disgust, annoyance, and frustration countless times. Up on his feet, pointing and screaming, oh, yes. At one, he shot up from his seat and stormed down the row, only to quickly gather himself and make the quick return trip. This entire endearing and
really
hilarious display just tickled my wife to death. Her commentary on this included, is he going to be okay? Is this game really a big deal?
Do we
get to play in that big tournament if we win or something? Oh, my God, I want to go give him a hug and tell him it's going to be okay. We're winning by 11. Why is he so angry? If we lose, is that ref going to need protection to ensure that David doesn't need a defense attorney? All right, I made the last one up. At least at halftime, David was a bit more relaxed, and nothing made her happier than when I got props for D.A. for having soft hands.
Oh, that's the guy that caught the T-shirt.
Oh, okay.
He had a baby in his left hand. They threw the T-shirt, and with his right, he just stuck his right hand out. Bang!
Didn't
drop the baby or the T-shirt.
That's very
good. That was very impressive.
Did he push
off? Were you crazy at this game?
I was insane.
You beat Bucknell?
We beat Bucknell.
Bucknell's usually very
first place Bucknell. Yes.
Wow. Okay, from Gus in South Glens Falls, New York, which I know well. I wasn't sure I enjoyed listening to Luke Russert. but will admit he has grown on me. But every time he's on the pod, I always have one question running through my head. Does he have a job? I mean, a real job where somebody pays him for something, not a Cato Kaelin kind of thing. No, he does not have a job.
No.
Two black labs right combined now. Weight of 165 pounds. Younger one has had two knee surgeries, one of which eventually went bad. So now she runs on three legs. Please don't tell Jason Lockenfora. Jake Hunter in Washington, D.C. Really looking forward to this week's show from Radio Row. Is Rick Barry available? We're not doing that. From Frank Erzik. Greetings from the 21117. We littles are very excited about the possibility of a live Tony Kornheiser Show podcast at the grand opening of Lowe's here in Owings Mills, Maryland on January 31st. The idea of Nigel regaling the children how Simon the Sea Cat used a Craftsman metric socket wrenches to work on the HMS Amethyst.
Yes.
No thumbs necessary with that 3-degree arc. I'll be front row for Mr. Tony's demonstration of the V20 system and the explanation of how power tools work without a power cord. Of course, who can miss Michael's golf grass seminar in the new garden center? I'll be lining up on Wednesday evening with a folding chair to make sure I'm there for all the festivities. What time do you think it will start? P.S. Please bring Chatter gift certificates, the perfect Valentine's Day gift. That's a lovely email. Here's the chance of us actually doing that. It is less than zero. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Tony, what are you doing?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bayou marshes and West Texas skies, New Mexican deserts and Montana nights. Bunched all my blessings and launched a grenade, determined to walk away from things I had loved and from those who loved me, to loosen the grip of this predestiny. Searching for answers to the question why we're gifted only to die. Yeah, we fight on like soldiers at war, as if it's an oath that we swore. Fight on, defending the pain, as if there was something to gain. Crossing a border and being sent back, losing a child and turning to hope for reasons why we should go. With the weight of the world when you've outlived your dreams, knowing you're stung, overlooking the sting, watching your dog as he runs towards his death, still in that last breath. We fight on like soldiers at war, as if it's an oath that we swore. Fight on, defending the pain, as if there was something to gain. Sisters, when they were just girls, I failed as a brother, made no difference. Lord, give me another chance to right all the wrongs I have done in my day, to live with the consequences I have made. The bed, it was mine, and my hands bear the blood. I ask before you judge. Let me fight on like soldiers at war who know what they're now fighting for. Fight on, defending the pain, 'cause we've all got some.
Today is the day we all say goodbye. Let's clear the air that's between you and I. If I had a choice how I would die, it's with you right by my side. Swim with your head underwater, head underwater, and the raptors ain't getting in. How can you have faith when your heart says you're gonna, heart says you're gonna be the first to give in? Today is the day we all say goodbye. Let's clear the air that's between you and I. I had a choice how I would die. It's with you right by my side. I can live for the end if I know that it's near. I can't live any longer with your fears. So if today's the day we all say goodbye, let's clear the air that's between you and I. If I had a choice how I would die, it's where.